You are Locked On A's, your daily Oakland A's podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's time for Locked On A's. Stepping to the mic, it's your host, Jason Burke.
Thank you, Emilian. How's it going, A's fans? Welcome to episode 313 of the Locked On A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, noted baseball fan Jason Burke, and on today's episode, I got him, you guys. I guilted him into it. I didn't. He actually contacted me, and Nash Walker and I did our crossover that I've been promising for a couple of days. We finally talked, so I'm talking to Nash Walker. A lot of this is revolving around the Twins and the trade deadline. Could the A's Twins be making a trade? We discuss some pieces that could be involved from his standpoint. It's always nice getting a fan of the other side as well, getting in and seeing the nitty gritty of how a trade could come to fruition. So if you want to hear some Nelson Cruz talk, maybe some Taylor Rogers talk, this is the place for you to be. And on tomorrow's show, I'm going to be talking with Keaton Lamb, the lead prospect writer for Baseball Prospectus. You know, Baseball Prospectus of Baseball Prospectus. They're legit and he's fantastic. I'm going to ask him some general questions about the A's draft. Where do they rank now? Do they have any top 100 prospects now? Things like that that I think that are more general. And then on Friday, I'm going to be talking to Jeff Ellis a little bit. He's the host of Locked On Indians. And we'll get a sense of the Indians, but also what does he think of the A's draft? So got some draft talk coming up for you guys, getting you guys ready for the second half as well. Today, there's trade talk and then also some conversations about the second half. We pick our breakout teams, breakout performers of the second half. It's a lot of fun. But before I send it over to that, today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me this week on Sunday at game time to get in on the action. Again, Sunday game time. You can also follow this podcast wherever you like hearing podcasts. Follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter and in the Spotify Green Room app. So you can follow me in there and then we can have our conversation. And then if you have any questions for us, trade deadline related or otherwise, please send those to lockedonathletics@gmail.com. So without further ado, here is my talk with Nash Walker of Locked On Twins. All right, today I am joined by the host of Locked On Twins. It's getting interesting in Twins, Twinkie Town. Is that a thing that they call you guys? Is that just the national media? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's Nash Walker.
It's mini that I have a problem with. We're not in mini, Jason. I really don't like up in mini. You know, we just don't say that. And people who are not, it's like Chi-Town. You know, people say Chi-Town, but people from Chicago don't really say Chi-Town. So that's the only one I have a gripe with.
Frisco is one that we get in the Bay Area a lot. Yep. San Fran is borderline. There is some interesting ones that you're like, hey, we're just going to nickname this city that we've never been to. I'm like, don't do that, please. Stop that. You're not from here. All right. So let's talk about just potential trade targets from the Twins. It has been reported in The Athletic, and also I've heard it for myself that the Minnesota Twins have been scouting the Lansing Lugnuts. I assume that would be a Nelson Cruz led trade from your standpoint. What are the odds that he is going to get traded? I think that they're fairly high. And what do you think that the Twins would be in the market for in return for Nelson Cruz?
Yeah, it's really difficult, Jason, because Nelly, like, as even people are outside of Twins fandom and outside of the organization, I think, too, like, see what an impact he's had on the team over the last 3 years and how much of a leader is. I mean, you see him tonight at the All-Star game, just, like, unbelievable. He's talking to everyone. They said he's done more interviews than, like, he's such a great hitter, obviously. But, like, the impact, he won the Muhammad Ali Humanitarian Award. Like, he's been such a leader for so many guys in that clubhouse. And he won Star Tribune Sports Person of the Year in Minnesota in 2019. Like, he has almost taken the city under his wing, like taken the sports town under his wing over the last 3 years. Like, just such a favorite of this city. Like, we just love Nelson Cruz and what he's brought. So it's hard to talk about, honestly, because he's so beloved and it's difficult, but I think 100% he will be dealt. And I think it's mutually beneficial for both sides. It doesn't make sense to have him here anymore, unfortunately. And honestly, like, it comes down to how many teams in the American League need a DH, you know, how many could use Nelson Cruz. And you look at the numbers this year, it's the same old Nelson Cruz. You know, he's one of the best hitters in the American League. I can attest, the eye test checks out. He's amazing. I mean, he's just amazing. The power, the clutch ability, like hitting in huge spots. He just does it all. And I think it does come down to a couple of teams. I think it's Tampa. I think it's Oakland and potentially Toronto, although, you know, they have so many right-handed bats in that lineup. But almost every other contender has a DH. And then you look at the White Sox, and I think Eloy's going to play DH when he comes back. And also, no chance will the Twins trade Nelson Cruz to the White Sox. But yes, I think it's 100%.
Do you think that they're looking for more of like a lottery pick where it's like guy with super flashy tools that hasn't put it together yet? Or what are, I had a Twins fan DM me and was like, hey, what about Lazaro Armenteros? Would that be a good trade? I'm like, I mean, if you want him, sure. He strikes out like 40% of the time and he's still in just high A right now. After, you know, he had a good first month of the season down in Stockton, then he got promoted, but his BABIP was very, very high in Stockton. He has tools to dream on, but he is years away from being potentially able to contribute at the major league level. If you want somebody like that, sure. But I think that there's safer bets that have maybe not as high of a ceiling, but what are you thinking the Twins may be after?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, it's difficult because it's the same way that Nelson, I mean, this offseason, right? There's just so few teams that in the, you limit to the American League, then you limit to contenders, then you limit to contenders without a DH. You know, it's like there's so many things that would prevent him from moving. Just like there's not a lot of teams, and there are teams there. Like, I think Oakland's the clear fit for him. I mean, I think it makes a ton of sense, and you can, I mean, you know better than I do with the situation there at DH, but just to add him to the middle of that lineup, I think like just right in the middle of like Olsen and Chapman, I think would be, it'd be unbelievable. I mean, I think he'd be great there, but the Twins, I mean, they need pitching, you know, they need, I think teams are hesitant to trade pitching that's close to the majors, of course. But I think like higher upside pitching, and I don't think anyone expects to get even like a top 10 prospect for Nelson Cruz, like a top 10 prospect in an organization, because he's owed a lot of money. He's 41 years old. He's a rental. He's a DH. I think that there's a lot of realities there, but he still crushes the baseball. So they're going to get something for him. But like, is there anyone that comes to mind for you, like a young, and I think the Oakland actually claimed, I want to say they claimed Dakota Chalmers. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I know the Cubs did. He might've been waived and claimed, but he's a guy who throws like 97, but he doesn't know where it's going. Like that. It would be someone like that. I think that the Twins would take a flyer on and feel like they could adjust. Does anyone come to mind, like in the lower minors for you?
There was, if they're doing like a roster crunch thing, cause they're going to have some Rule 5 eligible guys. If it's a roster crunch thing, maybe they trade somebody in the higher minors, but, Weisenberger has been solid. He got, he's actually been good though. He has nice strikeout numbers, nice walk numbers. He's a pitcher. And there's also, Drew McIntyre or am I thinking about the wrestler McIntyre? He also got promoted, up to Midland. He same thing, nice strikeout numbers, low walk rate. And then, Jordan Diaz is a nice bat. I don't know that they would move him for a, you know, another bat in a rental. He might be more of a, let's put together a package to go get somebody like Craig Kimbrell maybe. But they've got, the A's have plenty of pitching. I was talking to the Lansing Lugnuts play-by-play or broadcaster, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, the A's affiliate down there in the High A Central. And he says that the difference between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Oakland Athletics is the A's have so much pitching. They're just built on pitching. They got guys that can go deep into games, even at this level. And that's what you're looking for at this level, is consistency and getting deep into games, because that means that you're being effective with your pitches. So there's a number of guys, but those are the ones that stand out to me as good players, because I look at strikeouts and walks, and that's all that I really get a chance to see, because I'm scouting the stat line.
Yeah. I mean, I just think with the AL West and with Houston and the offense that they have, I think it's going to be a race. I mean, it's going to be a race for the rest of the year. And I think avoiding that wild card game, as we know, is such a priority. And also, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the East. You know, I don't know what's going to end up happening out there and how that's going to shake out. I think the Red Sox, I don't think they have the pitching to stay up there. And Tampa lost Glasnow. Like, I think it's weaker than it was even 3 weeks ago, you know? So to avoid that wild card game for Oakland, I think this is a huge opportunity for them at the deadline to try to win the West and really just get straight to the ALDS, you know, and that gives you such a better chance to go. Then you avoid that one seed if it's the White Sox or whoever, or if it's, you know, even Houston at that point, if they're in the wild card game. But I think adding Nelly, like, it just would add a whole nother dimension. Would you agree with that?
I think so. Yes. I think that they need to make a move. And Nelson Cruz has been bandied about for weeks now. He's the target that A's fans want because Mitch Moreland hasn't been great. Mitch Moreland is also on the IL for some reason, and we don't know what it is. I don't know if that is, you know, COVID related or if that is they wanted to replace somebody. He's like, no, I don't know. Yeah. So it is very, very strange. It seems like it's probably, you know, health related or, you know, family related or something like that. He seems like a nice guy, but yeah, it would be, I feel like they're getting ready to make that move at DH, and Nelson Cruz is obviously the best of the bunch that they could go after. Maybe they could go after, you know, a right fielder that could also DH and split time with Mitch Moreland. Cause if you bring in Nelson Cruz, then you kind of got to get rid of Mitch Moreland somewhere. Yes. And he has a few more options because he can still play a very, very solid first base. So they could move him to a National League club. Maybe he goes back to San Diego because, you know, they could use a first baseman someone or something like that. Hosmer. I don't know. They're always doing weird things.
Someone other than Hosmer. No, I like Mitch a lot, but also it's important to mention, like, Nelly will have, he's 41. I mean, he's amazing, but he has a sore knee. You know, he's got a sore back or he's got a sore neck. Like, those things happen for him. And he's like, he's obviously super reliable, but he's the age that, I mean, he's 41, you know, that it happens where he needs those off days. And like, you could sit him against a tough righty and play Moreland. Like, I could see that happening, but you don't want to keep Mitch Moreland on the roster. Just like,
you don't want to have two basically DH guys on your roster eating up spots. Exactly, because a team like the A's or the Rays, they're matchup based, and you have guys that could do, and I like having Mitch Moreland. Like, if anything, God forbid, happened to Matt Olson, he'd be the first baseman. I mean, he was when Olson missed a few days, he was the first baseman. He played fine. He was great defensively. You want a little bit more out of that bat. And I think that if you put him in the better situations, if he's at least league average, because that's really how good teams are built, is as many league average bats as you can get into a lineup on a daily basis. Then you have a couple of stars and then you go from there and then you compete. That's what the Astros were doing when they first started getting into contention, is just having nine guys that could hit like not, you know, be superstars, not nine Mike Trouts, but nine guys that, you know, are better than Jake Marisak, you know, guys that do certain things and having those holes filled. And I think that this is the year that if the A's were going to go and push some chips in, they can go, because there's not that team that is just standing out right now.
Hey, it's me again. I'm about to give my take on who I think the most competitive teams in the American League are that would be in competition with the A's later on in the season. But dinner time can be chaotic, and with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of your meals a few nights a week and take the pressure off of you. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered freshly to your door. No cooking required. Grocery store shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially right now. And with Freshly, you don't have to. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip that trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better for you meals like steak peppercorn, sausage baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. And right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to Freshly.com/locked on. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to Freshly.com/locked on for $40 off your first two orders. That's Freshly.com/locked on for $40 off your first two orders. This episode is also brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I will be hosting rooms for Locked On A's once a week, and yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, react to the big news or rumors. You will have a chance to chat with me and might even get a chance to be featured here on Locked On A's. through our Green Room Conversations. Be sure to join me this week. I'll be hosting a room on Sunday at game time. So go download the Green Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. You guys can follow me at ByJasonB to be notified when my room goes live. I know you're not going to want to miss it. I'm planning on being live this Sunday at game time for their confrontation with the Cleveland baseball team. I can't wait to hear everybody's thoughts on the A's, so I'll see you guys there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. And now some more of my conversation with Nash from Locked On Twins.
The White Sox are the one that scares me.
Yeah.
And also the Astros, because of everything about the Astros. But the White Sox have all of the pitching and all of that hitting, and they got Eloy Jimenez coming back. They've got Luis Robert coming back at some point. They're the team that scares me. The Astros, their pitching isn't quite where I think the White Sox is. So, and I think that the offenses are comparable. So you got to go out and do what you can.
Well, I just think about a top five. I mean, think about Laureano and Canna and Olsen and Chapman and Cruz. Like, I mean, that's a top five that rivals any at that point. Yeah. You know, it's and Nelly, like, it's so crazy. Like, my buddy said to me, we were talking about Nelly once. He's like, does Nelly just hit a homer every night when you watch? And it's like, it's honestly like you're just adding like a 950 OPS into the middle of your lineup. It's like just what you're doing. Like, you're just adding that. Right into the middle of the lineup. And that's so valuable, but it is interesting for teams like the Rays and A's, as you mentioned, with the DHL, they like to funnel, you know, they like to play those matchups, but there is some solidarity and there's some confidence in that. Just you slot him in at DH every day. Like, you know, he's going to hit, you just slot him in the middle of your lineup. And it's like such a good feeling when he's at the plate. And I'm telling you, he hasn't slowed down a bit. I mean, you look at, there were questions early on this season. It's like, okay, it's happening, because he was a little slow in May, but the weather warmed up, and I mean, he's been amazing. Like, since May 1st, he's been amazing, but especially in June was just outstanding. I mean, amazing since June 1st, the same Nelly we've known for 3 years. And again, it's going to suck, but the A's are getting a leader too. You know, he's been there. He's a legendary slugger. Like, he would fit in perfectly there. And I don't think there's a better spot for him to go. Jason, if they were to push all the chips in potentially, or really go for it, who else are you thinking about prying away from the Minnesota Twins?
I mean, Taylor Rogers is the guy. He would be the other guy for me, because they could use some bullpen help for sure. They've got some decent guys right now, and they're getting a little bit more healthy, but they're going to need to make one move for sure, whether that's Kimbrel or Rogers. They need another lefty for sure. So maybe Rogers would be the one that you want to go after. But they're going to need one, if not two arms, just to make everything a little bit better, because one thing that I think that the A's are having a hard time with is when they are down by a run or two and then they turn to their quote unquote bad bullpen, could give up some runs. The offense just stops scoring and they're not doing it. But if you have guys that are more shut down, or you move Lou Trevino or Jake Diekman into the sixth or the seventh inning, then you're like, okay, we still got a shot in this game. No matter what we do, if we score a couple of runs, they're not going to give up a couple of runs. We got a shot in this game. And I think that is just a mental thing that is not being taken into account when you're like, oh, we got the good bullpen, the bad bullpen. If you have all good bullpen, all of a sudden they're going to be much more competitive. So what would it take to get both of those guys from your beloved Minnesota Twins?
Yeah, I mean, I think Raj is interesting too, because he's really the only reliable arm that they have. I mean, their bullpen's been a disaster all year. And Duffy's been better lately, but Raj is the one guy. Even the last, like, and their bullpen was great in last year in the shortened season. Their bullpen was really good in the second half of 2019. But the first half of 2019, the beginning of the offensive explosion, it was like Raj and everybody else. It was like two inning saves. It felt like every other night for him. Like, they just brought him in the eighth and like finished the game, because there's the only guy they could count on. But 96, 97 with the sinker, outstanding command. The slider's back up this year. He was bad last year just from like an ERA standpoint, but you look at the FIP and you look at the, you know, batting average balls in play, and I can tell you it was bad luck for him last year. His balls were finding holes. But there were problems there with his slider. It wasn't as hard last year, but he's picked that right back up, and two elite pitches. One of the best. I mean, there's maybe two, not right now with Aroldis, but maybe two relievers in the entire game who I think are better against a left-handed hitter than Taylor Rogers, and it's Josh Hader and Aroldis Chapman. Like, I think Rogers number three, and I think he said before, like, I think I'm the best in the world against left-handed pitchers. Like, you just see him, he throws that slider down and away. I think he's gotten Olsen maybe a couple times on it. slider down and away, and he just spots it, man. Like, it's just beautiful. The way he eats up lefties, and he's just a matchup nightmare for them. But he can get righties out too, you know. And I think the Twins, and I think the A's are this way too, especially now that Rosenthal is out for the year. Of like, Trevino's going to close some games when Delkin is healthy, correct?
Yes, he just came back, and the bullpen's looked a little bit better since he came back because people are in their roles again, you know.
Yeah, but you can go. Like, it gives you this opportunity, like the Twins have done. Like, if you have, for example, like Brantley and Jordan coming up for the Astros, like, you can go to Rogers instead of Trevino in the ninth inning. And, like, he's going to give you a really good chance to win because he's so good against those lefties. And you can mix and match, and it gives you that flexibility. If you have Trevino, and I love Lou Trevino, I think he's great. If you have him and Raj on the back end, it allows you to do a lot of different things. And then you have Wendell, and you have Diekman that you can even pitch in the sixth or seventh inning. It gives you a lot of flexibility in that way. It'll be interesting because if they do make him available, I mean, a lot of teams are going to come calling. Like, a lot of contenders could use a left-handed reliever, but he's under contract for next year. He's probably going to be $7-8 million next year. Like, I think about that for the A's too, if that's something they'd pull the trigger on for next year as well. It'd be interesting if he was a free agent after this year. I mean, he'd be gone, but it'd be interesting if the A's like would really pull the trigger on that. You know, I wonder if that would be something that would stop them. Do you think it would be that he's under contract for next year? Is that a positive?
Yes and no. They have a lot of guys in the bullpen right now that are on 1 year deals. So they had to rebuild the bullpen in the offseason, this past offseason, and looks like they're going to have to do a decent amount of that again this coming offseason. What they could do potentially, and I know that it would be a couple $1 million more, but they have Jake Diekman under contract or team option or something like that for like $4.5 million for next year. They could, you know, get rid of him and replace him with Taylor Rogers if they wanted to.
For like $3 million more.
It wouldn't be as big of an expenditure to get Taylor Rogers there. Obviously, you would like both of those guys, but I think that Taylor Rogers is a little bit more effective and in the zone and more reliable than Jake Diekman. Jake Diekman had a fantastic 2020, and he's, for the most part, good, but every now and then,
great stuff.
He is just maddening to watch because you don't know where the ball's going.
Yeah,
and that's a little terrifying. And that's, you know, with or without sticky stuff, that it's always been the same thing.
It's funny because if you watch Taylor Rogers, if he ends up being an A or whatever, you watch him, it's the opposite. When Raj gets beat, it's because he's throwing too many strikes. Like, his command is too good. Like, it's too many strikes that are in the heart of the zone, you know. And he doesn't, I don't think he has the stuff quite like Diekman does. And the arm slot for Diekman stuff too. But I think that's when you see Raj get beat. But when he's spotting it up, like, he's so tough to hit. I think for the Twins, they have to think about, I mean, it's just going to come down to the question of, do we think we can compete next year? That's what they just have to ask themselves. And if they come to the answer of no, then yes, you trade Taylor Rogers, in my opinion. Then, you know, you look into trading him, because I think they could get a decent haul for him at this point from a contender that like the A's, who could really use him in the back of their bullpen. It's hard because I don't know the farm system like you do. You know, I don't know the A's farm system, but again, like, it's about the young arms, and it just feels like it's a good match because, as you said, the A's have so many good, you know, young pitchers in the farm system that could help the Twins. And I do think it's a good match, and that would be an interesting package too. I wonder if the Twins would think they could get more if they separated them, but maybe not, you know, maybe packaging Nelly and Raj to Oakland. There's a couple teams, Jason, where like, I'd be happy to see these guys go. And I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to you. Oakland would be one of them. It'd be like, yes, the A's, the Rays, and the Jays. And those are the matchups. Like, that's where Nelly could go or Raj could go, you know, and I love that.
Hey, it's me again, just interrupting real quick. Coming up on the show, we are talking about the potential of trading AJ Puck in a deal. And we also give our thoughts on the first half stars and also some guys that could break out in the second half, including a team that we think is going to absolutely catch fire here in the second half. But first up, I got to tell you guys about the best tasting protein bar in the world. And that is Built Bar, my friends. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There is something for everyone. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, you know that they have a passion about one of their flavors. For me, it is Cherry Barcia. I love Cherry Barcia. It is delicious. It's like having maraschino cherries in your mouth, but in protein form, so it's actually delicious for you. Imagine having that as a snack in the middle of the day because you're like, I don't feel like cooking a whole lunch. How about I just have a Cherry Barcia real quick, and then you're just getting jacked on protein. That is what Built Bar is doing for America, and I love them for it. And all you got to do to get your hands on some of these delicious treats is go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off of your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And here it is, the rest of my conversation with Nash Walker of Locked On Twins.
I do have one question, though, and that is AJ Puck. He has not been, one, able to stay healthy for most seasons. He's been healthy this year, but he's been down in AAA, and obviously AAA, the AAA West is just a bandbox. Everything gets hit out. If it's a pop fly, it's a home run. And he has not been pitching terribly well, but he is also rookie eligible still. So would that be something that would entice the Minnesota Twins, somebody with that much pedigree, in a potential package with the A's? Because if they do end up trading Jose Barrios, AJ Puck would be a nice number two or three starter, or even if they don't trade Barrios, nice two or three starter for the Twins coming up.
Yeah. I was going to ask you too, because I look at that A's rotation and I think it's Caprellian. Is it James Caprellian? He's been really good. And Bassett's obviously been great, and Montas and Manaea. It's stabilized, but I mean, everyone could use another starter. You know, everyone could use that. And Jose started a playoff game for the A's for sure, or could if they ask him to, you know. I think, yes, you're right. I think you're right on the money, because when I've talked about Jose and the Twins trading him, of course, I'm like, it's got to be a big package, as we say with all these guys. But he's under control for next year. Not that expensive next year before free agency. So not only are you getting him for this playoff push, but you're getting him for a whole nother season. But it would be someone like that. And I mean, I've been, maybe it's ridiculous of me, but I've said like someone like Nate Pearson, who's had a lot of health issues. But the raw stuff is probably the best in the minor leagues, you know, like someone like that, who is a team maybe wants to move on from, and the Twins would take a chance on. Like, it would be part of a package for someone like that. Or like even like Mackenzie Gore, who's had a terrible year in the minors for the Padres, and they could package him. And, you know, it's stuff like that where I'm like, don't do it unless you get a deal like that, you know? And I think Puck's another guy you throw into that mix, is like the sheer pedigree, the stuff, like it's all there, but it just hasn't come together because of injury, because of just ineffectiveness or whatever. And it hasn't come together, but you take that risk because it's young, controllable starting pitching, and it's so valuable. I think that's what they would do. I think they would do something like that if they were to move Jose Barrios. I'd be really surprised if they did move him. I think I would be more surprised than a lot of people, but the most you're going to get is right now. Certainly the most you're going to get for Jose Barrios is right now. Where would you put the A's need for starting pitching on like the hierarchy?
I think that they're pretty decent. Do I want Cole Irvin starting a game? Not necessarily, but he's also a very effective guy. He could be great out of the bullpen. Yeah. He's been good in the bullpen in the past. But I think that if you're having three starting pitchers, you probably go Bassett, Manaea, and Caprillion, because Caprillion thrives in big games. You know, he made his starting pitching debut in Boston, was fantastic. He got into some trouble in the first, got out of it, and then he was just nails the rest of the way. He pitched in Yankee Stadium, was also fantastic there. He's great in big games. I think he's a big game guy. His second start was in Anaheim, not, you know, the biggest stage, but he grew up, you know, like 20 minutes away from Angel Stadium, and he again dominated the Los Angeles Angels. So when the lights are on him, he shines, and I think that he's going to be a fantastic pitcher in the postseason. And maybe the A's get something out of Jesus Luzardo too. He's still he's a huge wild card for the second half for the A's, and I'm intrigued to see what happens there. But could they use Barrios? I mean, maybe, but I don't know that they need Barrios. But I think that if the A's are going to trade AJ Puck, it's going to be to go get somebody like Jose Barrios, or probably not Kimbrel, because he's, you know, a reliever and they can just find relievers or wherever, but he does have a nice little track record as well. But if they're going to trade AJ Puck, which I think that they would be okay with in the right deal, it would have to be for like either a guy with control or a guy that is going to really push some chips into the middle for this season. And they also have some shorts. They have three fantastic defensive shortstops in Midland right now. One of them is Nick Allen, who's probably not going to be on the trade block because he's in the A's long-term future once Elvis Andrus is, or maybe even next year with Elvis Andrus on the roster, depending on whether or not they can move him. And then they've got Greg Dykeman and Luis Barrera as two very, very solid outfield prospects that they got in the minors. maybe they aren't able to re-sign Mark Canha. I think that Mark Canha would sign with the A's if they offered him, you know, 12 a year or something like that, because he's worth 12. It'd be a little bit less than Michael Brantley, who was always the comp for me with Mark Canha. I know that his numbers aren't necessarily as pretty. He doesn't hit 330, but he hits 260 with a 385, 390 on base. So yeah, he's right in that realm. He has more power.
Yeah. He's fantastic. I think Mark Canha is your typical underrated Oakland A. Yeah. Like, I just think, you know, you just put him into the pile. There's a lot of them, you know, and some of them have come up. And sometimes you can be so underrated that you become overrated. I don't think that's happened with many A's, but I think it's good to see like Matt Olson come in the limelight a little bit over the last couple of years. And even he needs a little bit more. I agree. Like, there still needs to be some more recognition there. But I think Mark Canha is another guy. Like, my dad and I were talking, the A's are at Target Field. It was like a month ago, 2 months ago. We're talking
those were
about
some games.
Yeah, they were. We were talking about Canha and just like the on base ability. And he's just a ball player. He's a winning ball player. You know, he plays some left field, and
he can really play center too.
Play center. Yeah, he's a really he's a good ball player.
Okay, so my questions are just baseball as a whole. Obviously, you got Ohtani and Vlad Jr. as like the big breakout stars of 2021, but which player is your surprise breakout of the 2021 season? I've got a couple listed here, but who are your guys?
Well, I'm going to go with a guy in the AL West. I'm going to go with Adolis Garcia, who's been, I expected him as a rookie to come back down to earth. And he did have a stretch there where he was, you know, not hitting the ball that well, but he's been a monster this year. I mean, he's been a guy who I had no idea who he was. I think he was in the Cardinals organization at one point.
He was DFA'd, wasn't he?
Yeah, DFA'd, I think. And they lost Voit and Adolis and Rosarena. Like, I make fun of my Cards fan buddies. Yeah, they guys. But Adolis has been so good. And him and Gallo have been super tough in the middle of that lineup. That's a bad team, but those two just hitting the lights out of the ball. I'll go with Garcia there. And then, you know, I just think to see, I don't know, I think on the pitching side, I think if I was going to take an A too, like Bassett is like being recognized more for how good he's been. But he's been really good. I mean, honestly, Robbie Ray has surprised me a lot in Toronto. He's been really good.
He's always had those strikeout numbers, yeah, but he's really putting it together. Yeah.
Yeah, he is totally. And then, there's a lot of guys that have, I think just to see DeGrom's dominance too is not a surprise, but it's like, holy, like it's unbelievable.
It's next level. How does he, no idea.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say Garcia for me. Yeah.
Go for it. Two guys are both hitters. You got Cedric Mullins. Yeah.
Yes.
Star. He's been fantastic. Well said, yeah. And he's only hitting from the left side now. He had been a switch hitter. Now he's just like, I'm going to hit lefty. And he's got a 152 WRC plus, 16 homers, 48 runs and 34 RBI. Again, he's on Baltimore, not a great place, for getting a lot of exposure, but he's been fantastic. And then the other guy is from the AL West, Jared Walsh. He had a nice little breakout in 2020, and I drafted him in a couple of little fantasy leagues, and boy, am I glad that I did, because dude, the Angels finally DFA'd Albert Pujols because Jared Walsh is that damn good. He has a 140 WRC plus, which is 23rd in baseball. He has 22 homers, 46 runs scored, and 64 runs batted in. The Angels apparently just got this great offense and zero pitching. They're wild to me. My next question for you is, which player do you think has a big second half, whether it's, you know, one of these guys that we've already mentioned continuing, or who's going to have that breakout in the second half?
Oh, I think Francisco Lindor is the guy that comes to mind for me first, because he's gotten hot recently. Like, you're starting to see him play better ball, but I think he's due. I mean, he's such a good player, and I think the high expectations, I think he's going to fulfill those in the second half for the Mets. And I think the Mets are my dark horse World Series pick, depending on how they manage the deadline. And if DeGrom can stay healthy, but I really like that offense with Dom Smith. I've really liked Michael Conforto, obviously Pete Alonso, you saw what he can do. And Lindor can have that big second half. I think the Mets are going to be super tough. The Braves have lost to Acuña. I think it's the Mets division to lose or win. And I think Lindor is going to be a big part of that.
I got one guy on a competitor for the Mets, and that is Alec Bohm. I think that And maybe he's not the guy. Maybe it's the second. I got two for all these. I don't know why. Alec Bohm, though, his average exit velocity on balls hit is in the 91st percentile. So he's absolutely destroying the ball. His hard hit rate is in the 88th percentile. He's only got 6 home runs because his average launch angle is only 4.5 degrees. If he can take these few days off and fix that launch angle, he's going to absolutely explode because he's seeing the ball well. He's hitting the ball at the time that you want to. It's just not at the right trajectory. And I think that if he can get that squared away during this All-Star break, I think that he could have a big second half. And they talked about it on the stupid broadcast during the Home Run Derby. But the other guy that I had written down before the Home Run Derby was Juan Soto. There we go. Because same thing. He's absolutely crushing the ball, 5-degree launch angle. And he was saying that he hopes that the Home Run Derby helps his swing because he has not had the power. I think that those are my two guys, and they're both in the AL East. So maybe the Mets got some competition. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Also, I'm going to a Nats game next month, or like almost in a month. And so I get to see Juan Soto live for the first time. I'm very, very excited about that. Hopefully they don't trade him. They won't trade him.
He's amazing. I think there's unfortunately a couple Yankees. Glaber comes to mind. Unfortunately, I think we'll probably bounce back. DJ LeMahieu probably. Some Yankees in that lineup that I think will bounce back too, but I love those picks. Soto's just such a beast. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Third thing, who is the breakout from the first half that is ready to fall on their face?
Huh? I mean, that's tough. I think I'm going to instill some bias, but I'll say Carlos Rodon for the White Sox, who's been so, so good for them. But I will say, I think this is a guy. I mean, he's always had it. Like, he's always had the stuff, but it's awful to say about any player, but he has had trouble staying healthy in his entire career. And you have Tony La Russa letting these guys throw 110, 120 pitches in their starts after a shortened season last year. Rodon, like, I don't think Rodon pitched last year. I think he pitched in one game last year for the White Sox, and they're pushing him like crazy this year. And I think you're going to see, unfortunately, in the second can have a lot of guys who have that track record of not a lot of innings get hurt or become ineffective. Like, you're going to see velocity dip, so you're going to see the stuff's just not the same. I think he's one of those guys for sure, because he's just been so good. He's a great story, but he's on the White Sox, so unfortunately for him, he's going to be my pick.
So screw him. I don't know if you play the show, but they just released their All-Star package for season 3 and all that stuff.
Yep.
And I definitely picked Rodon. I always pick pitchers because their stats are a lot easier for me to accrue. I'm like, yeah, strike out 9 guys, that'll take me like 2 games. I got this.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I play 3-inning games.
Right.
So last question, and you already kind of alluded to it. The team that is going to go on a huge run and contend in the second half, you said the Mets. Do you have anybody else that's standing out to you?
I like it's like, I don't like to say it, but I like both New York teams. I think I still am a huge believer in the Yankees lineup. I mean, if they can just stay healthy, and they've been pretty healthy, I think you're going to start to see them break out. I love DJ LeMahieu. Like, I love Glaber. I love those guys. I love their players. I don't like their team. You know, I like their players a lot. I think the Yankees and Mets, and the Mets really just stick out to me because the rotation's been so, so good. And I think their offense is underperformed for the personnel. You know, you look at teams, you're like, okay, they're going to be just fine. They're going to end up being fine. And you look at the Mets 1-8, it's a really good lineup. I mean, the names in there, it's a really nice lineup. So I think the Mets and Yankees for me. It's going to be tough for the Rays. Like, I don't know how they're going to do it without Glasnow. You already saw them scuffle a little bit without him. Braves, I mentioned, without Acuña is going to be tough. And I hope if the A's get Nelson Cruz, I hope it's the A's. I hope their offense just, like, explodes in a huge way, adding Nelly to the middle of it. Like, maybe you get a big second half from Chapman, who I think is probably going to have a big second half, and to see that come together. So I think they are legitimately, again, not just saying this, a dark horse for that that pick as well.
Very, very intriguing. I think that my team, and I am just enthralled by the team overall. I mentioned them before. It's the Toronto Blue Jays, because right now they are 45-42, so just above 500. But if you look at all of their stats, they got a plus 72 run differential. So they're doing fantastic work there. And it's only 3 runs less in run differential than the San Diego Padres, who everybody thinks of as one of the best teams in baseball. So The Toronto Blue Jays, obviously, they got some holes. Everybody knows they need pitching. If they go out and get some pitching, this team is going to be absolutely lethal. And also, they've been doing this. They're fifth in runs scored without George Springer for most of the first half. So they're going to be even better offensively. They have 100, or their WRC plus is at 111, which is tied with the Dodgers and White Sox. Obviously, the White Sox have also had some injuries to deal with, but those are two very, very good offensive clubs. And if you just go with runs scored, the Padres have 428. The Jays are at 444. So similar offenses, but the Jays runs allowed is 372 compared to the Padres 353. So they're fairly similar in those regards, a little bit better offense for the Jays, a little bit better pitching for the Padres. But if the Jays get a little bit of bullpen help, a couple of starters, something like that, because they've got the prospects to go get those guys, or we see the return of Julian Merriweather, or we see some guys getting healthier, this team could be just as good as the Padres, and they're at 500-ish right now. But I think that they are the dark horse in the AL East, and if they get hot, they're going to be absolutely unstoppable. So that's another team that scares me coming out of the American League, but they got to make those moves to get there. So they're intriguing to me, and the A's get to face them one more time.
Well, I think about, talk about a team that could use Barrios and Rogers. I mean, it's just super intriguing to think about like Barrios and like the electricity that he brings, like a team that's already so electric. And then you would add Rogers to the bullpen. That's been bad for them. You know, it hasn't been a strength. That's for sure. I think would benefit them a lot, but they got to take advantage of Vladdy's year. They got to take advantage of this now with the year they're getting from Semien. We talked about on a 1-year deal, and Vladdy and Tosker's an all-star, and like Bichette. And I mean, the offense is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous offense, and they need to take advantage of that. It does it in a lot of ways, and it's different because this is like a really fun young club, and the Twins were that way in some respects. But the 2019 Twins in the first half, like the offense was unbelievable, and it was like, okay, they need to go get another starter. They didn't, and Randy Dobnak ends up starting game two at Yankee Stadium, and it's like, oh, it feels like they threw that away a little bit. But the Jays need to take advantage of this, because the East is maybe the lowest it'll ever be. Like, it's maybe at the lowest point it'll ever be, and I'm not disrespecting the Red Sox, but I think that they're a bit of a paper tiger. And I think that this is the time for the Jays to go win the East and make a run in the postseason.
And I think that the one thing that differentiates the Blue Jays from a lot of the other contenders is they have money to spend. They can go out. They have, you know, room obviously in the payroll, but also they're willing to spend. So that separates them from the A's. The Yankees and the Astros and the Red Sox are right up against the luxury tax threshold. So, and also the Rays aren't going to be spending a ton of money in trying to acquire guys, or, you know, taking a bad contract to get these better players. So the Jays have just the right mix of things that they need to make things work. And I think that they're going to be very, very lethal in the second half, but I mean, you got to play the game. So we'll see.
We'll see.
All right. But thank you so much for doing this little crossover with me, Nash. Hopefully we come together on a trade, and
I think we will.
it feels like it's a match made in heaven, but you know, hopefully you get some guys that you get excited about over, you know, for next year, or, you know, 2023 or whatever season it is. Yeah. But where can people find you on social media, man?
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, at NashWalker9 on Twitter, at LockedOnTwins is the show. It's not all sad. It's not all down. I'm a Twins enthusiast, so I try to stay up on them. But yeah, Jace, where can people find you? Twins fans won't find anyone better for Oakland Athletics coverage.
It's at ByJasonB on Twitter. And then the show is at LockedOnA's on Twitter and Instagram. Also, the Spotify Green Room app, if you guys do that, I'm on there at ByJasonB as well.
Thanks, Jace. That was fun.
No worries. Take it easy, man.
See you, brother.
A big thank you to Nash Walker of Locked On Twins for stopping by for this episode, talking a little bit about the trade deadline and also the first half and the second half. Always great time talking to Nash, but that's all that I got for you guys today. Tomorrow, I am talking to Keaton Lamb of Baseball Prospectus, so tune in for that one. We're talking A's prospects, the A's draft specifically, so that'll be a fun episode. And then on Friday, I'm talking to Jeff Ellis of Locked On Indians about the upcoming weekend series and also the A's draft. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you like hearing podcasts. Follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter and in the Spotify Green Room app. But that's all that I got for you guys today. So until next time, go out and celebrate good times, Oakland, and I will talk at you tomorrow.